Blog Talk Radio.
Financial freedom is passive income exceeds expenses. So, you know, as long as you have mailbox money that exceeds what you spend, you're financially independent. And it's different levels for all kinds of people. You can have somebody that, you know, is financially free at $5,000 a month, another person that has $20,000 a month that isn't financially free. So it's a relationship of your expenses to your passive income. As long as your passive income exceeds your expenses, you're financially independent.
Thanks for tuning in to the Midday Money Show, your weekly shot of uncommon financial good sense. I'm Tony Husbands, a financial coach with the Debt-Free Divas, and I love talking about all things as they relate to your money. Even though it's February, I want to say Happy New Year! How have you been? How are you? I've been missing my time with Team Debt-Free, and I need to really just apologize for this impromptu break. Can you believe it is already February? I was pumped, guys, to get 2017 started. The New Year, New Year Summit was amazing. I'm so glad we were able to bring that to you, but it wore me out. That was so crazy. I mean, I was exhausted after that summit, and the summit itself is fine. You know, the week was just filled with great speakers, great ideas, wonderful sources of encouragement and motivation, but there was so much work that went on in the background in terms of like putting that together, all of the planning, all of the, you know, trying to smooth out all of the issues, because there was a couple of little bumps and rough patches in there, but we made it through. We got it going, but it did. It wore me out, and I didn't even realize it, that I just, you know, I needed a mental break. So other than kind of keeping up with my freelance clients, I have been on a break, we'll just say it like that. But I'm back. So what to talk about today? Well, seeing as how this is kind of still the beginning of the new year and this is the start of the Midday Money Show season, I'd like to share a new idea with you. So let's get fired up. Fire. Fire is one of those terms that, okay, the concept has been around, but it's cute. I like it. It came up during the New Year, New Year Summit, and I just want to share that with you. And FIRE is an acronym, stands for Financially Independent, Retire Early. So here's the thing. Back when I first ran across this concept of living debt-free or paying off consumer debt or living without credit cards or car notes, a seed was planted. And that seed it was planted in my spirit, and it kind of rattled around in my brain, and I had to mull it through and say, do you really think it's possible to live a complete and fulfilled life without debt? People really do that? Turns out half the folks in this country actually do, which is interesting. But without credit card payments, without car note, and Lord willing, one day without a mortgage, I just really had that, you know, that idea was planted in my spirit, and I just really had to let it take hold and start to believe that it was possible. And lo and behold, it is. So, you know, and I'm no fan of the whole beans and rice every day type process. I'm okay with a more measured approach and enjoying life, living, but still accomplishing your goals. And so that is the approach that we took. That is the approach that I teach and I continue to motivate, but I like the idea of planting seeds. So that's where I'm today. So I'm spreading this message of debt freedom because it is mission possible. It's doable. And that's why I keep talking about it. That's why I keep stalking people who've paid off their debt so they can talk about it, so that you can constantly hear this and so that it can become a seed that's planted in your spirit and eventually take root. All that to say, yes, debt freedom is possible, but when you accomplish that goal, then what? Would you like to be financially independent? I think it helps to break down like what these concepts are in plain English. And for that, I'm going to turn to a new friend, a new bestie to be. His name is Todd Tressiter. He is the financial mentor. And just to give you a little background, Todd was a hedge fund manager, and took him 12 years to retire early from his full-time gig, but he did it because he was able to create an environment where his passive income exceeded his expenses. And so what does that mean? What does passive income mean? Well, basically, it's money that you are not physically working for. It's not your W-2 earned income, if that makes any sense. So he was able to create an environment where his passive income exceeded his living expenses monthly, and thereby achieving financial independence. And as we talked on our interview, because he was one of the speakers for the New Year, New You Summit, and you probably, even if you attended that summit, you didn't hear him because he was one of the bonus speakers. But I'm going to play for you a little snippet of our conversation. And as he says, he's been able to maintain his existence or his lifestyle and financial independence since he was in his 30s, his early 30s, and he's much older now. but so take a listen to this little snippet from Todd, and then we'll continue on with this conversation.
Financial freedom is passive income exceeds expenses. So, you know, as long as you have mailbox money that exceeds what you spend, you're financially independent. And it's different levels for all kinds of people. You can have somebody that, you know, is financially free at $5,000 a month, another person that has $20,000 a month that isn't financially free.
Okay.
So it's a relationship of your expenses to your passive income. As long as your passive income exceeds your expenses, you're financially independent.
Okay. And then, so that sounds simple enough. So then how do
I like to make it simple. Life is complicated enough. We don't have to make it hard, right?
Exactly. So then, okay, keeping with that simple train of thought, how do we get there? What advice
Oh, let me give you the simple answer. How you get there is?
what advice do you have for the average person who doesn't have a background in economics and wasn't a hedge fund manager, but I know that this is possible. So what steps do you suggest for the rest of us to kind of put that plan in motion?
Well, it really boils down to two ratios. I mean, you know, there's a million numbers that go in the equation. There's all kinds of inputs to the equation, but they're pretty much rounding errors compared to the big two. And the big two are how much you save relative to how much you earn. So your savings rate is a percentage of your income, and then your return on investment net of inflation. Those are the two big ratios. If you focus on those two, the rest is just a rounding error.
And so when you say focus on those, you're saying basically we need to obviously get our living expenses down. What are some of the things that you did to keep your living expenses way down?
Well, so as you said, I went in the hedge fund business, raised my income dramatically, and I never really raised my lifestyle above a college kid. And it wasn't because I was trying to be frugal or trying to be cheap, because I really wasn't. I lived a nice lifestyle. I lived at Lake Tahoe. I had my own condo down near the water, truck, boat. It was a nice lifestyle, but I made a lot.
Okay.
And so I was able to save 70% or more of my income. And so it didn't take long to become financially independent that way when you're saving 70% of your income. The other thing too, you can look at that is you can look at me working the formula there. I went in the hedge fund business. And so my focus was learning about return on investment. How to compound wealth through paper assets was the business model we were in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was playing both sides of the equation. I was getting paid handsomely to learn how to compound people's wealth and mastering the art of investing. And at the same time, I was controlling my expenses, and that's why I was able to do it so quickly.
Okay. So what do you think are some of the biggest hurdles then talking about the average person, the average American, what do you think are some of the biggest hurdles for the average person out there reaching financial independence?
They have no plan. They're just living life. I mean, most people just live life, you know, and then there's nothing wrong with it. If you want to just live life and come out with whatever random result happens from a randomly chosen life, then that's what you'll get, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a specific goal or a specific outcome that you want, then you have to live it purposefully. You have to decide what is the outcome, and then you figure out, well, what are the principles and how do I manage my life in such a way that I reach that outcome, and you engineer your life accordingly.
So now I know what you're thinking. He's a hedge fund manager. He knows how to game the system. Plus, he was making a pretty decent salary. This is when you have to apply concepts and not get hung up on like distracting details, because you might be saying, I'm not a hedge fund manager. I'm barely making, you know, ends meet or whatever. The point that I heard him say was he kept his expenses down. Are you barely making expenses meet because you are living beyond your income? That's a choice. You know, that's a choice that you've made to live one way, and it's a choice that you can make to turn that around. He kept his expenses down, and he made compound interest work in his favor. So if you're working on paying off debt, you are working on minimizing those expenses already. See, many of us have an up close and personal experience with compound interest. It's just working for the credit card companies. It's not working for us. So we're paying compound interest instead of earning it. So step one of this two-part dance into firing up your debt-free goals, if you will, is keeping our expenses down. And we do that by, number one, paying off debt. So you are there already, hopefully. If you're not there, let's get there. So paying off debt. So we're not paying extra for the convenience of buying stuff that goes down in value. Minimizing lifestyle inflation. So lifestyle inflation is basically this. As we grow and we learn and we become more successful on our jobs, then we generally see an income increase that goes along with that. Well, we don't want to just unintentionally increase our living expenses as our status on our jobs or as our life progresses, basically. So you think about it. When you have more children, you think you need a bigger house. When you have get a raise on your job, or you get another title, or you maybe have some letters at the end of your name now because you finished your degree, you feel like you need to go out and compliment yourself with a brand new fancy car note. So, and notice I didn't say car, I said car note. So basically, if we can control our living expenses as our income rises, then you can control your lifestyle inflation, and thus controlling your progress towards financial independence, if you will. So if you're, think about it. He didn't live beyond a college student. If you can think about the way you're living now, and if your lifestyle is for the most part comfortable. I'm not talking about if you're in a kind of a desperate situation, but if you have a roof over your head, you eat every day, you're able to maintain your bills, the more you make, if you can maintain or even reduce those expenses, then you're going to be that much closer to hit financial independence. And finally, saving to pay cash for big ticket luxury items. I'm talking cars, I'm talking you just bought a new condo and so you need to furnish it, paying cash for those things and not putting those on credit. And of course, step two is we have to learn how to build wealth. So as you are working to pay off your debt, you're working that plan, this is a good time to start learning about the different options that are available to us. There are so many things out there, and I'm no financial planner, but I am a big proponent of not doing things that you don't understand. And so we'll kind of talk about my plan because I work the systems that I understand and those are working for me. Some people can do like what Todd is, kind of take advantage of some of the more complex financial investment strategies. That's fine, but that's not the only way to build wealth. That's just what worked for him. But I do want to mention that one of the first things that we need to make sure that we're doing, and this came up in one of the sessions that I had with Hillary Hendershot, and she is the owner of the Profit Boss community and the Profit Boss podcast, and I'm going to put a link to her information in the show notes because, again, it's just about learning, taking this information in, figuring out how you can apply this to your situation. But one of the things that she said, and I don't want to gloss over this, is that number one, we need to make sure that we are contributing to our employer-sponsored retirement savings plans if you have one. So that is the biggest thing, contributing at least up to the match if that's an option, and also contributing up to the maximum that you can. So those are kind of some basic first things that all of us can be and should be doing. So another option that people consider, which is one of the things that I like, is real estate. So check out a snippet from this interview with Mindy Jensen. She was another speaker from our recent summit.
Once my husband and I got married, we started, I had bought a condo to live in as a single person, and I fixed it up a little bit. I saw some ridiculous gains and I thought, ooh, I could do this again. I can find another ugly house and make it better and fix it up and. So we did that. We're in, I think this is our ninth house together, and we've been married almost 15 years. We just keep moving. This is our forever home. 26 houses to get here. So to me, I don't have an attachment to this property, to any other property. It's just a place that I hang my head. If you're not going to live with your parents forever, buy a house, and you buy what you can afford, and you buy in a decent neighborhood, and you get a tenant in there, you rent out a room, you live there for a year, you decide, oh, I can go buy another house in a better area, and I can buy a house down the street. You don't have to move across the country when you're moving. You can stay in the same general area. It's just a different place to hang your head. FIRE is a financial independence retire early. And I don't like the concept, the term retire early, because when you retire, you don't work anymore. And I'm not going to retire. I really love working at Bigger Pockets. I get to talk about real estate all day long. That is my favorite thing ever. But my husband works as a computer programmer, and he does not want to do that when he's 65 or even when he's 55. So he is going to, we have saved up enough. We figured out how much we needed to live on for the rest of our lives. We have saved enough much up, and now he has the opportunity to leave his job whenever he feels it. He is financially independent. He is not dependent on somebody else giving him money in exchange for his time every day. So he is, so that was never our goal when we first started flipping houses. It was just another way to generate income. It's, you can make a lot of money flipping houses. Mm-hmm. We needed some place to live anyway, so we just lived in the house while we were flipping it. Then you don't have to commute to the house when you're done. Commute to and from the house when you're working on it. You just get up and start swinging a hammer. In 1997, Congress passed the Taxpayer Relief Act, and now you don't have to buy a bigger, better house in order to save on capital gains taxes when you sell your house. As long as you own and live in the home for two of the last 5 years, you can sell it, and any profits are tax-free up to $250,000 if you're a single person and up to $500,000 if you're married. So we would do what's called a live-in flip. We would live in the home because you need to live someplace anyway. We would live in the home, rehab it while we were living there, and then wait 2 years between the time we bought it and the time we sold it, sell it, take all that money, put it in our bank account, or put it into the next house, let's be honest, and repeat. So we sold one house for $100,000 more than we bought it for.
Oh, wow.
After profit and all of that. And that just went into our bank account. Well, it went into the stock market because the next house was significantly cheaper. We decided to downsize as we learned about financial independence.
So do you notice some similarities here? Getting those expenses down is key. Now, you may not be up for moving to a new state to bring down your overhead. I get you. I'm probably not going to do that either. I live in Chicago, a fairly vast metropolitan area with a generally high cost of living and a bunch of crazy taxes. But that's a whole other topic. So what's worse is I actually moved from Dallas, a great area, from the Dallas area, I should say. But it's a great area with very reasonable low cost of living, and you can get a lot more for the amount of money that we pay for things here in Chicago. So I really do have a firsthand, I guess, understanding, if you will, of kind of how far my money will go in another great city. Nonetheless, I have family ties to this area, plus I like the city. And regardless of what you hear about the craziness on the news, and it does, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but Chicago still is a really great city. But you can live in the city without buying into the hype of overpriced neighborhoods. So you can live, you can kind of buy into the overpricedness of an area, or you can try to make adjustments where you are. And that's what we've been able to do, which I love. So while we live in the city, still, you know, there's still much more expenses that we experience here for our living overhead, say, versus when we lived in Dallas. But we have been able to live in great areas, but just adjust by doing things like we might go for a smaller place, which has all kinds of ramifications, like your heating bill is lower, your taxes are lower, etc. So we still have been able to live in great neighborhoods and great areas, but we just try to do so and make sure we really focus on getting the expenses down. We might go for something that needs to be fixed up a little bit, or something that's a little bit older, things like that, to reduce that cost of living. So I'll let you in on our plan, and it's something that was interesting to hear kind of Mindy talk about this in a more systematic, I guess, perspective. But this is something that we've been developing, and since the summit, you know, my husband and I have been talking more strategically about how we can actually fire up our long-term financial goals here. And so what we've been doing for the last few years, kind of not in a not so gung-ho, but we've been doing this is kind of finding deals, finding real estate deals. So we have 3 units now that we rent out, and our current townhome is super nice, and we ended up getting a great deal on this one. But we also moved here with the intention is that we were going to live here for a while, and then we would eventually rent this out as well. So if all goes according to plan, we just found another potential deal. We got to work these numbers and make sure they work for us. But another deal in our same neighborhood. So we know the neighborhood. We like it. We like the schools. We like the community. And what we would do is we would move down the street basically, but rent our current place out. And eventually we would want to rent that one out as well. And so our plan over the next maybe 5 years or so is to add 3 to 4 more units. And as I'm thinking about this again, what we are trying to do is create a situation where the rent from our properties, from our rental units, covers our living expenses and exceeds them. As you know, and we can again do that for as much as we can kind of handle. So far, we've found that while we don't make as much by buying properties in better neighborhoods, we'd have better tenants. And it goes without saying, we have better tenants, and better tenants usually bring less headaches and less drama. And I found that even though I can make more by acquiring properties in maybe some lower, less expensive or lower income areas, then I'm just not. Quality of life is important to me. So those are some of the things that we've been learning and dealing with and growing from and kind of adding to our real estate portfolio, if you will. And since the summit, I really started to get kind of crystal clear on exactly how we want to approach this, the time frame that we want to do it. I want to be a little bit more specific about the time frame and getting some other kind of to-dos off of our plate. But again, it's about the seed being planted. And so I'm going back to Todd's comment. If you want to be financially free, it's as simple as generating passive income that exceeds your expenses, lowering your expenses. Or the lower you keep your expenses, I should say, the less income that it's going to take to accomplish that goal of being financially independent. And which I like that he said is it takes a plan. It really takes a plan to make that happen. So beyond paying off your debt, and let's not gloss over that because that is key. That is essential. So if you're paying off your debt, let's focus on that and get it done. I just want to plant this seed so that you kind of start thinking about how you can either reduce your expenses or keep them low if they're already decent, and how you might start to generate passive income. I want to plant that seed for you right now. So, hey, if you didn't get a chance to check out our speakers for the New Year Summit, and they were phenomenal, or you want to tap into some of the bonus speakers like Todd Tressiter, who I said wasn't on the main menu, but was a great interview, then I actually, and I'm actually adding some more to that lineup, then head over to our, to the summit site. It's pfrockstars.teachable.com, and you can use the coupon code SUMMIT for 30% off. For 30% off coupons. So don't worry if you didn't catch that. You can check out the show notes for this episode. Fire up your debt-free goals at my website, debtfreedivas.org. We'll get this podcast back on track, folks, for the weekly shots of Uncommon Financial Goodness. I'm re-energized. I needed a break. I needed a moment. And I hope your momentum is still going strong. So let's do this. Until we talk again, have a great money week.